Those of you that are reading along with us, I think I'm a day or maybe 2 days ahead, or maybe I'm right on time with you. I don't know. It depends on where you're at in your reading plan. And let me say this concerning our Bible reading plan. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I don't have it listed by date. I have it listed by day. So every month has day one, day two, day three, day four, so on. And the reason that I do that is because I don't want you to look at a date and think, man, I missed 3 days. I'm, you know, this is the, whatever today is, the 7th, and I'm on the 4th. I don't want you to look at that. I want you to just say, okay, today's another day. I can pick up on my 4th day, and I can start reading here, and I can read through to my 7th. I don't want you defeated before you ever even get in the Word of God. And so I think if we set ourselves, if we're not careful, we'll set ourselves up for failure by trying to keep up with a date thing. And so just take it day by day and read or listen. I had someone tell me one time, well, if you don't really read it, that's not as good. Well, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so I'm not sure, you know, what they would do, you know, with that, with the Bible and what it says. But I guess if it makes you feel better to have been the one to read it, then go ahead. All right, that was free. Here we go, Psalm 33. You'll be reading this tomorrow if you're on the same schedule as I am on the plan. That's why I said all that to say, said all that before to say that. Okay, verse number one. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for His praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in Thee. Father, bless the reading of Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. In this psalm, as I studied on it today, well, I'll tell you this, I was listening to it on my way to work, and there's several psalms in there on tomorrow's reading, but this one grabbed my attention, mainly verse number 4, where it says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all of His works are done in truth." And so that kind of arrested my attention. And then I heard that in verse number 6, where it says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. And so that further engaged me in what I'm listening to. And this is only a couple minutes, or maybe even maybe 3 minutes worth of listening, worth of reading, you know, going down the road and listening to this. And then I come to verse number 12 where it said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he have chosen for his own inheritance." Those three verses jumped out at me, I guess if I could say it that way. And they so intrigued me that I had to study. Man, I couldn't wait until lunchtime to where I could get into this. I could dive into this. So here we go. Amen. In Psalm 33, I always try and read the psalm before that. Anytime I study the Bible, I try and read the scripture before that, or the, I won't say just the scripture before that, but the chapter before that and then the chapter after it. That way I can hopefully keep things in context and at least have a better understanding and go further back if I need to, or go further forward if I need to, whichever way that I need to go. And so I learned a few things about the 33rd Psalm. And one thing that I learned is that many believe that it is, I don't want to say numbered wrongly, but that it's actually part of the 32nd Psalm. And the reason that they say that is because they have some things in common, but I want to give you this, the reason why many people believe, or many, I guess, commentators or studiers of the Bibles, the Bible believe that it was part of Psalm 32. And I do want to remind you that the way that the number system that is in the Bible, that's something that we put in there. Now, that doesn't sit well with some people when you tell them that, but, you know, David wasn't writing the Psalms and taking his quill or whatever and you know, writing, "Blessed is the Lord," or "whose nation is, whose God is, or whose God is the Lord," and then go, you know, well, let me stop there, Psalm 34, you know, and then start doing it. He didn't do that. He didn't say verse 12. We did that for identification purposes and for understanding and to help us retain. And so there are many people that believe that the 33rd Psalm and the 32nd Psalm are really one long psalm that should have been there, or might have been sung, written at the same time, but sung as two different songs. It's possible. There are, of course, millions of possibilities out there that we could say and we could speculate on, but there are some basic differences. I want to give them to you real quick between the two psalms. So Psalm 32 is impassioned. Psalm 33 is impersonal. Psalm 32 is emotional. Psalm 33 is logical. Psalm 32 is experiential. Psalm 33 is expositional. Psalm 32 deals with God's pardon. Psalm 33 deals with God's power. Psalm 32 shows us the throne of God's grace. And Psalm 33 shows us the throne of God's government, what I read to you just a few moments ago. Psalms 32 deals with the heart and forgiveness, and Psalm 33 deals with heaven. So the vital connection that is between the two, when we're looking at it, is really it's joy or rejoicing that we find here, because Psalm 32 tells us, how about I just read the 32nd Psalm? That'd be all right. I know, I promise we're going to do the 33rd, but in order to understand, remember, let's just read it. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." For those who do not know, that word imputeth means to blame or to hold accountable, responsible. So blessed is who the Lord imputeth not or does not blame iniquity. "And in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence," when I did not pray, "my bones waxed old through my roaring," my complaining, "all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." What is moisture mostly referenced in the Bible? The Spirit of God, the presence of the Spirit of God, water and oil. And so "my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Selah, that word Selah, I missed it in the verse number 4 there, but in the latter part of verse number 5, that word Selah means, it's a musical statement, a musical term that carries the same meaning as what we use in the English language as a comma. It means to stop and to consider what was just said right before that. And so it's there for that specific purpose, to remind us to stop and realize what was just said. Verse 6, "For this cause everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." Now listen to verse number 11, and I'm going to read them. I'm not going to stop the chapter. I just want to read so I can show you the kinship between the two. Verse number 11, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." I'll stop reading right there because I don't want to read through all of what I've already read. But where we have seen a man who, Psalm 32 was written by David, the Psalm of David, it's a masculine, and so he's confessed. He has gotten right with the Lord, is what we would call it in our day and time. And he's telling the people in verse number 11 to rejoice. In verse number 1 of Psalm 33, he's telling them to rejoice again. So in 32, they're rejoicing because their sins are forgiven. And you and I in 33 can rejoice because God who forgives our sins in the 32nd Psalm is the same God who controls all of the factors of space and time, and everything that we know and we see, every bit of this is in control under God's hand. Amen. So we get to rejoice because our sins are forgiven, but we also get to rejoice because of who He is and what God is and all that God is. So you can see where these two Psalms at least work together. I kind of like the end of Psalm 33. It almost starts sounding like a little bit like Proverbs, doesn't it? Amen? It sounds, it's wisdom, thank God. One other verse that I got, I don't need to go into that. I'm gonna go into some of the first things I want to say. We were riding up here tonight, and I got in the truck. When I were getting in the truck, I took my Bible and my iPad, and I laid it up on the dash, and I do that every single time on Wednesday nights. That's what I do. I set my Bible up there, and I got in the truck, and I crunk up the truck, and I'm driving down the road, and we get all the way to I-20. We're coming up I-20, and I'm almost to the temple exit, and I look down beside me, and I have a mini panic attack because my Bible's not beside me. And so I just kind of had to take a couple of deep breaths, and then I looked up and realized, hey, dummy, there it is right there in front of you. And so Miss Tara was giving me a hard time. She said, "You done been doing all that studying and wrote all those notes." I'm like, "Yeah, I was about to have a sure enough panic attack and didn't know what I was going to do there." But I'm thankful that God's faithful that I'd already done something by muscle memory. So anyway, that funny little story I wanted to tell you. So the Bible connects itself and allows us to see where the rejoicing is between the two chapters and what brings them together, but in chapter 33, he's praised him for what he has done for him in 32, as you and I have done. We praise the Lord for what he has done for us. We know that the Bible tells us in the book of Luke, I believe it is, where the disciples went out and they had power to do things, and they came back to Jesus and they were telling him about this. And Jesus said, "Rejoice not that you have power over the devils, but rather rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life." And so that's what's pictured here and typified in Psalm 32 is the rejoicing that we have over salvation. But now in Psalm 33, we're rejoicing because of who God is. So we look at that and we say in 33, "Praise the Lord," or "Praise God for all of His goodness." And I want to give you, it's Baptist, three things. Praise Him, first off, thankfully. Thankfully. I think sometimes we've gotten to a point in Christianity today where anything that remotely mentions God can be classified as some sort of praise. Now, I'm not knocking praise, and we'll talk more about that specific thing here in just a moment, but not everything that mentions the Lord is meant for His praise. Some speak derogatory of Him. Some do not speak at all of Him. They just put enough spiritual sound in words from the world in order to trick you into thinking that something is spiritual or that something is praise unto the Lord. I have found that most of the time in the Bible, when praise seems to be spontaneous, it comes from people who had not spent a lot of time around Jesus. They had only spent time with Him during a magnificent thing happening. You understand what I'm saying? They were not completely thankful because of who He was. They were only thankful because of what they had seen in that moment. Our emotional state is a very powerful thing. This is why we say thank the Lord thankfully, or praise the Lord thankfully, because you don't always feel like thanking the Lord when you're going through the rough patches. And so if our emotional state dictates when we're going to praise the Lord, we're not going to praise Him thankfully. We're just going to praise Him when the good times come. That's why the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them. Not all good things work together for the good of them, but all things work together for the good of them. We know that God is bringing us through something, and you and I, when we're praising the Lord, regardless of what's happening in our life at that moment, we've got to learn to be thankful in that moment. Man, it's a difficult task. It's a difficult task. If you'd have been riding down I-20 with me last Thursday afternoon, you would have realized that I was not so thankful for the black SUV in front of me. And he wasn't too thankful for me either. We weren't thankful for each other. And it's probably a good thing that we didn't stop. You know, and I mean, it was a hard time. And then I get going down the road, and there was somebody sitting on the side of the road, and I said, well, this actually came out of my mouth. Well, thank God I ain't got to sit on the side of the road. It's a wonder the Lord didn't say, okay, big boy, let's put you on the side of the road for a little while. Let's put you there for just a little bit, you know. And I mean, I was so enamored by my emotional state, anger, toward another vehicle that I flippantly said something thankful, or that I was thankful for something, and I wasn't really. I was just saying it. I was just going through the motions, you know? I know y'all have never done that before. Never participated in such. So, okay, preacher, how do I praise the Lord thankfully? Well, he tells us in this psalm, rejoice in the Lord. Don't rejoice in your current circumstances. Don't rejoice in what makes you happy in the moment. I mean, there's nothing wrong with shouting it out and having a good time and saying, you know, praise the Lord for this or for that. Please don't misunderstand me. What I'm trying to say is that regardless of our current condition or current circumstances, the Lord is worthy of praise. Thankfully. Being able to say, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Well, this happened and that happened and this bad thing and that bad thing and all of this difficulty comes in my life. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm 100 kind of brought me in, I guess, ushered this in for me today. I was thinking about it. Psalm 100 and verse number 1 said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness." Do you know how you get glad when you're serving the Lord? You're thankful for Him using you in His service. Because I promise you, Christian service does not have a whole lot of gladness attached to it if you're just doing it for the service. But if you're doing it for the Lord, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all to the Lord, as unto the Lord, is what Colossians tells us. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God, and it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with what? Thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. We can thank Him and praise Him, or we can praise Him thankfully. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. When we are upright, I struggle with that. I struggle mentally. Maybe you don't. I struggle emotionally. There's constantly a spiritual battle happening in me and around me. I don't want to be unwise to what is going on around me, the spiritual warfare that happens. I mentioned this a little bit Sunday morning, but I think we have come to an age where we think spiritual, or an age, a place in time. By the word age, I mean a place in time, where we discount spiritual warfare and what it really is. But I believe that we are under attack, Christian. I'm under attack. Mentally, I am under attack. I was talking to someone not long ago, and they said, "Oh, you're just going through a midlife crisis." I said, "Well, if this is a midlife crisis, then I call it a spiritual attack too." And maybe it is. But I tell you this, I'm not going to discount the things and the struggles that I have simply because psychology has invented a term to explain it away. There are very real things that happen to Christians, to Christians in their homes. There are very real things that happen in our home. There are very real things that we deal with, and our gratitude dictates how we approach certain things in our life. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Know the Lord, He is God. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. O ye righteous, for praise is comely to the upright. It's something that we can do that shows us, or shows, I guess, the Lord. It really shouldn't matter to others what they see, but it shows the Lord that we're sincere to Him and that we love Him and that we care about Him, when we're thankful to Him. Thankfulness does a whole lot more in getting my attention. My little girl, she has devised a plan when she needs money. She will text her mom and tell her mom that she needs money, and mom will say no. She'll text her dad, and dad will say, "How much?" And depending on what number she says, usually get pretty close. But she knows not to let mom get in touch with dad in the middle of the transaction. And every single time that I send her money through Cash App, I get the sweetest little text with a pink heart, and it says, "Thank you, Daddy." And I'd love to say that I'm cold and whatever. But I go, "You want some more money?" That thankfulness does something to you, doesn't it? That thankfulness makes you want to give more. Now, if a human being who's wicked as the day is long and deals with mental difficulties and things of that nature, if a little bit of thankfulness will change my entire outlook, what do you think it does to God when we tell Him, Lord, I want to tell You thank You? You can see it in our song service when we come to that one line on that song. It says, Lord, I just want to say thank You. Man, there's hands all over the house. Lord, we just want to tell You thank You. And then it seems like whenever we sing about thanking Him or thanking the Lord, that more blessings just get poured out on us and we just get more and more and more. So we can praise the Lord thankfully, according to verse number 1. There's more. But wait, there's more. We can praise Him thoroughly. Thoroughly. So verse number 2 says, praise the Lord with harp, sing unto Him with the psaltery, and an instrument of 10 strings. If David is the writer, now, Psalm 32 was certainly written by David. Psalm 33, there is question about it, as I explained to you at the beginning, because some believe that it goes with 32, so it may very well have been David. If it was David that wrote this, David's saying, pull out all the stops. Get all the instruments together. And let's begin to play those. Years ago, I was talking to Brother Jeff Bird, the former pastor here, and we were talking about music, musicians, and he's told me a story about the church, the first church he pastored. And he said, man, I think he said somewhere along the lines they had a pianist that could just barely bang out one or two songs. And he said he prayed and told the Lord, if You ever put me in a church, would You fill it with musicians? And he did. I'm looking around a lot of the faces in here. We're on the backside of kind of the musical era of Gateway Baptist Church, although we still have many talented musicians here and many upcoming, and the Lord's blessing them. Old David's saying here, use what we got. We got the harp. Y'all remember that about the harp, don't you? What David did with the harp? David soothed old Saul with the harp. I believe the reason David named the harp is because that might have been something that David... I wonder in my mind, and I'm speculating here, I know that. I'm reading between the lines, whatever you want to call it. But I wonder if when he was on the backside of the wilderness out there, where it's just him, the time, you know, where he killed a lion and killed a bear before he ever even got to Goliath, I wonder if maybe he'd lay back in the evening and he'd just strum on his harp. You can almost hear it, can't you? I got a good imagination. I thank God for my imagination. But I can just about see old David leaned up against a rock, and he's out there, and ain't nobody but him and the stars and the sheep. And he hits a chord, and great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. I wonder if he would sing the Psalms before he wrote them. I'm talking about way back in life, and then after he was a grown man and had taken the kingship, and I wonder how many times he would just get off by himself and he would strum that harp. And so here he is saying, you know what? I know what God did in my heart when I'd play that harp out there. Get the harp, boys. Get the harp. We're gonna play something to the Lord. You know what? Don't just get the harp. Go ahead and let's sing unto Him with the psaltery. Get it too, and let's play. And let's allow Him to blend together and hear that wonderful harmony. And you know what? Go ahead and get the instrument of 10 strings. I don't know what that was. I don't know what the instrument of 10 strings was. Maybe it was another harp. Maybe it was a 10-string guitar. I don't know. It'd be missing a whole chord, wouldn't it? I don't know exactly what that thing was. Oh, I almost forgot. Here's a man after God's own heart using stringed instruments to praise God. Well, y'all just don't know what I just said. He tells us, praise the Lord with the harp, sing with the psaltery, get that instrument of 10 strings, get everything going, get the whole band, get them all up, and let's take all of our ability and everything that we have, and let's thoroughly praise the Lord. Psalm 150, the psalmist wrote this, praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. There's another instrument. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. There He is again. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. That don't always sit well with Baptists either. We just read how David was leaping and dancing before the Lord. Does that mean that I want you to go crazy? No. No. Does that mean that I'm telling you to go to the dance club? No, no, no. No, that's not at all what I'm telling you to do. But I do believe that there is times where we have so much joy in our heart that our body kind of moves with it. Look what God has done, you know. Does that mean that you get crazy and act a fool? No. It means you praise the Lord. It happened in the Bible days. And like it, lump it, or bump it, it's in the book. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. I like that phrase, pull out the stops. I was in a funeral service one time at a church in Douglasville, First United Methodist Church in Douglasville. They got a great big organ in that place. If you've ever been in there, it's beautiful inside, beautiful church. But a great big old organ up there. And I remember this guy sat down to play something on that. I think he played the doxology. And he's sitting down there and he's like, man, we're going to get this thing loud. And what are you talking about? And he starts reaching up and he's pulling stops out of the pipes of that organ. And I'm talking about when he hit them keys, it was like, boom, you could feel that thing in your chest, man. Golly. That'd shake a Baptist up right there, you know, using an organ like that. He said, praise Him on stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Actually, Psalms 146 through Psalms 150, they all start with praise ye the Lord and they end with praise ye the Lord. I believe that when we praise the Lord wants us to do so thoroughly that every fiber of our being is praising His holy name. You think about on Sunday mornings when we start out on Shout and Shine, we'll be singing Shout and Shine, you know, and we get to that first chorus. Yeah. Gonna shout, gonna shine. You know, you get that second chorus, or that second chorus. Gonna shout, gonna shine. You get in that third, double, quadruple, overtime chorus. Gonna shout. Brother Walt throws that microphone up there. Gonna shout. Woo! Get all over you. What's happening is that we're putting all of our strength. We're not just putting part of our strength. You ever seen them guys up there singing or see somebody preaching and, man, there's sweat just pouring off of them? And you think, man, I don't know why, guys. I'm sitting here freezing. You know, I don't know why. It's not because it's so hot. It's because he's putting everything that they've got into it. They're thoroughly, thoroughly giving that sacrifice of praise unto the Lord. They're thoroughly praising the Lord. And I believe that that's what God wants us to do, is to praise him thoroughly. One more here. Thoughtfully. Thoughtfully. Praise him thoughtfully. So verse number 3 says, sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. I mentioned a little while ago about spontaneous praise. And I do think that there is a time that it's spontaneous. But I'm going to tell you, the people that get the most out of services are those who have been prayed up prior to getting to church. They've already spent time with the Lord. They've already been, they're getting, it's like them old primer bulbs on an old lawnmower. By the way, if you hear that sound, get rid of your primer bulb and get you a new one. And you hit that old primer, some of them say do it 10 times. That just means they're weaker, Brother Dave. When I was growing up, it wasn't but 6. Ten times, and then pull that start cord. I mean, that, you can tell the difference between the folks that are primed and the folks that still got the full choke on. You tell a big difference. And no forethought has been placed into worshiping the Lord. Nothing thoughtful has been put into what I'm going to go do when I go to church and I worship the Lord for a little while. Or when I praise Him. And so I want to go back to verse number 3 where it says, sing unto Him a new song. The words used for new song in the Hebrew language, I don't have them out here in front of me. I did study it today. But it carries the meaning of a song never heard before. The new song is mentioned, I believe, 7 times in the Bible, or a new song is mentioned 7 times. 6 of them are in the book of Psalms. Or excuse me, in the Old Testament, not in the entire Bible, in the Old Testament. 7 times. One of them is in Isaiah, 6 of them are in the book of Psalms. A new song. Something that has never been voiced before. We saw an example of that Sunday night. We had a new song sung here, which was had some magnificent harmony. And I don't think that I had ever heard that song. If I had, I didn't remember it. And I knew many of you had not heard that song either. And so I watched around the room, And I could tell that you guys were listening. We hit some good spot, and it's like, hallelujah, man. It got good. But then everybody got quiet again because we just wanted to listen. You know why? We were putting some thought into what was going on. You know why? Because some thought had been put into what was being sung. And some thoughtful worship, some thoughtful praise was happening in that moment. It's not always like that. I get that. But when you primed up and you're ready to go and you have put some forethought into worshiping the Lord, man, God gets on that and blesses that. And He does what we cannot do. You can have the prettiest voice in the world, but if you're not ready to sing, man, you'll sound like a dead frog. You think that you're ready to go. I think every Sunday morning I'm ready to go, and something happens from that pew up to here to this pew in the choir where my throat just closes. I can't explain it. I don't know why it happens. I don't know what happens, but it happens nearly about every Sunday morning. And I'm standing here in the choir going, man, I wished I'd done some warm-ups before I come out of the office. I wished I'd done some me's or something before I got up here, and then I eyeball that bottle of water thinking, Lord, if you'll just let me get to it, everything will be all right. But that new song, so a new song requires some thought into that. If the writer of the psalm here was talking about a new song, that means he would have had to sit down and think about, well, what does it need to say? You ever been with somebody that wrote a song? Now, I'm not talking about when your 9-year-old writes a song about how pretty your dog is, and you enjoy that, you know, that's nice, and it's a great song, and or how they do. Didn't Luke write a song about a dog dying one time? That's my boy. We recorded it. It's on a recording somewhere. We sent it to your sister because it was her dog that died. Memories. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you have somebody who has sat down and said, you know what? I got a thought, and I believe the Lord wants me to pin it down so that I can worship God with it. And hours goes into that. When we were up there at Arise last year, they released, Brother CT and Miss Becky released a new album during the conference. And man, it was a blessing. It's been a blessing to me. But I thought about that. I thought about them releasing that album. In that moment, I thought, okay, they're just releasing an album when they got a lot of people in front of them. It's a good idea, smart business decision, you know, whatever. That's incredible, good idea. And then the more I thought about that, I thought, oh, they poured everything they had into that. They put some thought into this. They went to the recording studio, and somebody had to play. Somebody had to pick the guitar. Somebody had to sit down and play the piano. So then you have all the years of practice of learning how to play the guitar and how to play the piano. And then you have all the words that they've tried to put together just for the purpose of praising the Lord. Now, will it benefit them financially? Hopefully so. Will it benefit them? Will it allow them to earn some income or something? I hope so. I hope the Lord uses it. But that's not the reason behind it. The reason is they want to praise the Lord. By the way, you can tell the difference between something that's written to make money and something that's written to praise the Lord. I've run across some that was written for making money. They weren't written to praise the Lord. How many of you ever heard the song, God Still Answers Prayers, or prayer? In His time, He'll work a miracle. He will never fail. Wonderful song, isn't it? Written by a man of God, a good man of God, Brother Scott Thomas at Pastor's Pine Ridge right down the road. He just sat down and wrote it. But he put some thought behind it, and the tune came in his mind. He began to pick it out. So when you look at that, I thought about Brother Morris. I ran across a video today on one of them things where they were, this little group, a little trio, was singing Because He Loved Me. And man, they were doing a fantastic job. And I said, I know that little guy, or I knew that little guy that wrote that song. He would be very pleased with how they're singing it. Think about the Kyla Rowlands. Or the Fanny Crosby. She couldn't see, but she could write a poem. And others could put music to that, and it would be used to worship God. And some of our beloved hymns, God has used in that way, all because somebody was thoughtful about how they were going to worship God. And what they were going to use and how they were going to sing and all of these different things. Is there a time and a place where spontaneous worship breaks out? Absolutely. Or it may appear spontaneous to us, but really somebody has spent some time with God Or they just saw one miracle and they're just thankful for that miracle, not for who He is. We can praise the Lord thoughtfully. We can sing unto Him a new song, and then to play skillfully with a loud noise. You take me and I go sit down on the piano, I can just get out the first little bit of Amazing Grace. But you let Miss Paula get up there and she'll play, and we'll all sit here and say, wow, that's wonderful. You let me sit down and you say, wow, get him off the piano. There has to be some skillful, thoughtful worship happening down at the church house. We had to put some thought behind it. We can praise the Lord thankfully. We can praise the Lord thoroughly. We can praise the Lord thoughtfully. Praise for Him. Praise to Him. All right. I'm going to stop right there. I'd like to go on a little further, but I believe I need to stop. It is 8:18, so you only got 2 minutes. Maybe a minute, something like that. All right. Thank you for being here tonight. I trust you've got something out of the message. I hope it's been a blessing and encouragement to you. Brother Brad, will you dismiss us, please, sir, in a word of prayer?